and welcome around the table of the Lord. This morning we are going to receive words of exhortation and encouragement from our brother Saxon Bell. And he has asked as an introduction that we read from the book of Psalm, Psalm 1. I now ask our brother Saxon Bell to come forward and to give us words of exhortation and encouragement, and particularly for our new brother Max. Thanks, Saxon.
This photo is taken a few years back now, but it came after a breakthrough win in Max's basketball team. And I put it up there because it gives us a little bit of an insight into the character of Max down the front there while everyone's celebrating. I think it gives insight into Max's quirky sense of humour and his lovable nature. Max is a pretty easygoing sort of fella, and like all of us, Max, you're unique to God, and he's chosen your special character and talents for his service. So, good morning, everybody. Well, a baptism is such a special occasion. You know, to think that there's something that us as mere humans can do to bring about such joy and rejoicing amongst the immortals in heaven really does take some time to absorb. So, Max, I'm sure you've spent the past few months reading and listening and thinking about God's plan of salvation. And you've come to believe the simple and logical truth of the Bible. And Enfield Sunday School and Hyde Park, your family and friends have assisted you in some way to this point, but ultimately it's God that called you, and you've responded today by publicly declaring your need to be saved. And from today on, your journey in Christ begins. And as witnesses of your baptism, I hope that we will all be there for you along that journey. So as I'm sure you're aware, having Bible truth alone is not going to save any of us. Yes, it is an important part because it forms the basis and the foundation of faith, and we know that faith is essential for salvation. But the question is, what are you going to do with this truth that you've been guided to? How are you going to use it? How are you going to respond to your high calling in Christ? How do we show our thankfulness? Well, you and I didn't discover the truth by ourselves, Max. The truth of the Bible was rediscovered well before our time, and we were merely beneficiaries of it. And we were both fortunate to be brought up in families and meetings that have shown us the truth of the Bible in a doctrinal sense. And on top of that, God has called us to be in his kingdom. There's nothing that we've done to deserve that. Before we were born, before we did anything, Jesus died for us. So having Bible truth is nothing that we can boast in or brag about. And no flesh will glory in Christ's presence about being right. Having Bible truth doesn't put us in an exclusive club. It's not a license for us to condemn sinners or to speak badly about other religions. Holding Bible truth is an extremely incredible privilege. And to whom much is given, much is expected. And from today on, God wants you to take this good news to every single person that you meet, to go into all the world and preach. As the Lord commanded Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So show the unique character of Christ to the world in your normal daily life. Be the same person wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And I think that's something that your generation is quite good at, being willing to tell others about who you are. What we do with the truth is an expression of our appreciation to God. He is willing that none should perish, and he wants you and I to show that every day. He wants us to do everything we can to save others, both our brethren and sisters and those without. So this morning I want to look at just five quotes and you'll be familiar with all of them. I'd like to look at five practical points that you can take away to remember and draw upon in whatever time remains before our Lord returns. There's probably no better time in your life to try and set about to develop good habits that will assist your walk to the kingdom. And I don't know when that's going to be, Max. I honestly don't. Like us all, we hope that Christ will return soon. But really, it doesn't matter. The only thing that we can be certain of is that he will come. God knows best, and if his return is delayed, well, there'll be good reason for that. But for now, we take confidence in the fact that everything that we see in the world around us is consistent with what we would expect from Scripture. So the first point, you must make time for God in your life, and ideally that is every day. And this is an essential, and there's a reason why it gets mentioned so often. It's impossible to develop your character to be like Christ without God's help. You can't rely on your own strength or on human determination to do what's right. Human nature is extremely strong and it's hard to overcome, but with God, all things are possible. There's no shortcuts in respect to the most important things of life. As your dad has no doubt told you, only God can take you from the works of the flesh to the works of the Spirit. And this is going to be a long process. But what you allow to go through your mind is ultimately going to shape the person that you become. So every year, the Bible reading chart starts with Psalm 1, if you choose to use that as a guide. And Psalm 1 highlights the need for us to create an environment that will help us to develop Christ's character. So verse 1 starts, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So verse 2 says, blessed or happy is the man that delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So whilst reading God's word is important, what's equally important is to spend some time thinking or meditating about what you've read. Maybe write down some notes, ask some questions, challenge things. Have an open mind that is willing to learn. The key is regularity. It's day and night. Reading the Bible will never instantly transform you, but it will over time. Like anything in life, regular practice is how we get good at something. And the psalmist now illustrates this point by comparing us to trees. We read in verse 3, "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatsoever he does, he prospers." So a tree that is planted by a water source is far more likely to thrive and be healthy. It will be able to withstand testing times because its roots are deep. It will yield fruit because it's had that continual water supply. So we all need the water of God's word. And it's only, Max, by your own study that you will ever develop your own conviction. Agreeing with something is completely different to having a conviction. And the difference is a conviction will compel you to act upon what you know. And that is what God wants of us. He wants the theory, the written words, to translate into action. Now we all start somewhere, but never stop growing. So if we place ourselves in an environment where we're constantly taking in God's word, it will make it so much easier for us to develop a character that God is looking for. So producing the fruit is God's work, but the health of the tree, that's our responsibility. And not only that, but as this psalm starts out, we'll actually be blessed or we'll find happiness in doing this. So humanly, we think that doing whatever we want is going to make us happy. But God tells us that true happiness, fulfillment, and contentment can only come by following his advice. And as our Creator, we should obviously trust Him that He knows what's best for us. So we all understand this in theory when we're young. We all agree it's right, but it seems to take us a lifetime of experience to really understand and practice it. And I'm sure everybody in this room that's older than you will attest to that. Death to serving self is a lifelong challenge. So today you've publicly declared your belief in the gospel. But faith is so much more than just believing God is real. It's so much more than just believing in His plan of salvation. Faith is believing that God's weird and strange advice to us will actually make us happy. That it's better to forgive than to hold a grudge. It's better to give than to receive. And to find happiness in helping others rather than by serving ourselves. We all need to taste and see. We need to try it out. It's worth mentioning that we live in challenging times in respect to what we're taking in every day. And God's aware of all the challenges that we face. There's no need to fear. God is always with us. But we live in a time where there's so much information available and there's so many opinions. There's news that is biased. There's news that is fake. And the world claims that you'll find happiness in ways that appeal to your flesh. But it doesn't have your best interest at heart. It just wants your money. And the media provides an endless stream of entertainment. The world has something to interest and entertain us for every minute of the day. It will be interesting, it'll be amazing, it'll be hilarious, but rarely is it going to assist you to develop a godly character. But God does want what is best for you. His advice is trustworthy and it's true. And He loves us more than we will ever realise. He's patient with us. He knows that often life is two steps forward and one step back. But that's progress. And He loves to see in us a desire to do what's right. So make sure you have a constant supply of God's wisdom in your life. The real test begins for you now, Max. But you're not required to be flawless. God does give us room to grow. Unlike our Lord, you will actually be given an opportunity to learn from your mistakes. Point two. The test of whether or not you're relying on God to develop your character is going to be reflected in how you communicate with Him. Prayer is simply a reflection of how much you feel a need for God in your life. I'll just say that again. Prayer is simply a reflection of how much you feel a need for God in your life. If you're praying regularly to Him, then that's the best sign that your relationship with Him is strong and you're relying on Him. You've no doubt heard a lot of talks about the many things that you can and should pray for, but above all else, God wants your communication with Him to be genuine. Prayer must be fervent, earnest. It must be a reflection of what your heart truly desires. Praying like you really believe that everything is possible with God. Come with me to James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Other translations say the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So in James here, it's talking specifically about the context of praying for the welfare of others, but it's true of everything that we bring before Him. It can be so easy just to rattle off a bunch of words without any meaning and desire. But God is looking for genuine people. And Max, your friends appreciate this quality in you already, genuineness. God wants people that are willing to confess their faults, people with humility that truly understand their place before Him. And God is not a human. We cannot fool Him by looking right with words that sound right. He wants our hearts. He doesn't want you to mention a whole heap of stuff in your prayers to him that sound right. There's no point praying for the peace of Jerusalem unless you really mean it and you want it. God wants an intensity to show that you believe that he is real, that he's interested in every part of your life. And he wants you to ask in faith that everything is possible with him. Now, what you pray about is going to largely depend on what is happening in your life. But it doesn't matter. Cast all your cares upon him because he wants to hear them from you. Make God your go-to advisor in everything. He's always available. He's always willing for you to communicate with him, trust him, and rely on him. And when you do confess your sins, you must believe that God truly forgives and use that as a catalyst for not making that same mistake again. I think one of the coolest things about prayer is that when you pray to God, you feel like it's just you and him. You know, despite the fact that at any time there's possibly millions of people praying to him, despite everything that he controls in the world, his purpose, all of creation, prayer feels so intimate. It's like God stops everything and he gives you your full attention. Well, he actually does. He loves nothing more than when his creation acknowledge him in our lives. Just one final point on prayer. I can't really talk about prayer without being honest with you, Max, and that is our prayer life is often up and down. You know, sometimes we find it hard to pray, and all too often we say things to God out of routine. And I've spoken to many of my mates who have said as much. So better to make your words few but meaningful. Point three, the best way to get to the kingdom is to focus on the needs of others. And there is no greater example of this than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Life is so much more than just getting ourselves to the kingdom. Being there for each other is an essential. As I mentioned at the start, the way that we show our appreciation of God and his son is shown in how we treat each other or how we care for each other. So just like you need to make time for God in your life, you need to give of your time to help others. We're all in this together, and at different moments we all need help, and Brother John's already mentioned that this morning. And your friends have told me, Max, that you already care for others, and this is such a great characteristic to have. When I was young, there was many times when I didn't do anything for others when there was genuine need. I just didn't know what to say. I felt too inexperienced to give advice. But much later on, I realised that I didn't need to. And in my experience, rarely can we ever give answers to the needs and trials of others. And people don't need answers. People just need to know that you care about them, show an interest in them, just spend time with them. Every human has a basic need to be loved and to be included. Everyone that has made a mistake needs mercy and compassion. And depending on whether or not they receive it, can have a large impact in whether or not they continue in their journey. You have a responsibility, Max, to help others to the kingdom. And primarily that's to your family and to the Hyde Park youth group. But don't ever give up on people. God never gives up on us. And Jesus never gave up with Judas. Don't ever let the failings of others be a barrier to reaching out. Sickness and sin need to be treated the same. Both need compassion. And compassion means to suffer together. They're both effects of the nature that we bear. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, reading from verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty or give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invited you in or naked and clothe you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it unto the least of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it unto me." Now, when we come into the presence of our Lord, it's our attitude and our character that is of interest to him. He will be looking for people that know him. And the greatest show of appreciation for the work of the Lord on our behalf is seen in our attitude to each other. See everyone as Jesus and treat them accordingly. We need to do more than just show kindness and helpfulness and generosity to our friends. We need to show it to everyone. Now, sometimes ecclesial life can be all about giving talks and positions of responsibility. But in reality, we get a lot of satisfaction and appreciation for those things today. But pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. True religion is to give when you expect nothing in return. Reach out to those that might not have had the things that you've been blessed with, and be in the world, but not like it. Point four. There's only one thing that you can't do this side of the kingdom, and that is give up. And Brother Tony mentioned that last weekend. God is certainly never going to give up on you. He's called you to be in his kingdom, and only you can remove yourself from that certainty. And I hope, Maxie, you don't think that that's a too negative a statement to make on the day of your baptism. But I don't know the things that may come into your life this side of the kingdom. Many followers of Christ have suffered greatly. Some suffer poor health every day, and some bear heavy family issues. And we all bear the consequences of our sins, no matter how big or how small we think they are. But one thing that we can be certain is that all the things that happen in our lives are for our ultimate good. Come with me to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." That's us. And all things work together, not all good things, all things, good and bad. I think the world goes on so much about our happiness, our contentment, and our fulfillment in this life. And sometimes we think, yeah, I should be happy or I deserve to be happy. But God never promised us happiness, contentment, or fulfillment in this life. Everything about this life is just a preparation ground for the main event. Everything that God offers us pertains to the future, to a life of immortality. Everything that we as humans need to be completely content and happy, God will provide that. More than I think we can possibly realise today. So we need to have the right perspective about life today. Mortal life is just about growing. And one day everything in this life is just going to be a distant memory that we will wonder why we ever placed so much emphasis on it. Like my life, your life is going to consist of mistakes, possibly regrets and consequences that will make your road to the kingdom harder. None of us want to sin against a God that has done so much for us. But God knows that we will fall. He knows that we're weak. and he provided his son to forgive us, and that's what we believe. But God is looking for how we respond to our mistakes. And so often bad things happen in our lives actually become a turning point for us to understand or appreciate something better. So don't focus on your mistakes. We can't change the past. Focus on overcoming. Focus on learning from them. And keep life today in its perspective. It is just a training ground for future glory. And so we come to our last point, the most important point of all. And it's why we're here today. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "Just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord," which you've done today, Max, "you must continue to follow him." You know, at times life can be complex, and sometimes we can get caught up in things that cause us to lose our way. Max, don't follow other people. Don't follow religion. Always keep Jesus as your guide. Life is so much simpler when we follow the Lord. And you've no doubt heard of the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" It's absolutely brilliant. And I feel it's the best guide that any of us can use in life. The Bible is full of characters that we can learn about, and God's recorded the lives of many flawed but faithful men and women to inspire us. People that we can relate to and understand. And Max, God's given you many friends, family, grandparents that you can look up to and learn from them. And every one of us here, Max, genuinely wants you to be in the kingdom. I have no doubt about that. But all of us are flawed. And despite all our genuine endeavour to do what's right, unfortunately, people will let you down at times. But Jesus will never let you down. There is no situation that you'll ever find yourself in life whereby you cannot draw strength from Christ. There is nothing that you'll be asked to endure that Jesus hasn't been through. He is always there. He is a light to follow, and the light never goes out. And he's tempted in every point as we are. He understands us, and he always wants the best for us. So make it your priority to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn to love the Lord in a personal sense. You know, God in his wisdom gave us the example of the Apostle Paul, a man that was so inspired by Christ. He was inspired to an extent that no amount of suffering or persecution could make him lose focus on following his Lord. Paul is proof that joy and satisfaction comes from following our Lord. You know, when we talk about immortality, we talk about things like being able to fly and no more fear, no more pain. But Paul's vision about joy was being in the presence of his Lord forever. Like any good friend, you always want to hang around them and spend time with them. And Paul came to know his Lord to such an extent that all he wanted to do was spend eternity with him. So Max, you understand what our Lord accomplished in his life, death and resurrection. And you know that he perfectly demonstrated God's character to all the world. But as we've said, that's just the theory. We all need to understand the character of Jesus, how he thought and what was his perspective. Because Jesus was so much more than about being right. He was focused on doing right. It's a human thing to want to be right, to get bogged down in all manner of complexities, to be seen as right. And so often in his ministry, people came to Jesus with all these technical questions about being right, and he showed them that they needed a completely different mindset to understand what God is looking for. When a man asked Jesus how many times he should forgive, he was focused about being technically right. But Jesus showed him a far greater perspective. How willing you are to show forgiveness is a direct reflection on how much you feel you need it yourself. And that's what Jesus does. It's a way of thinking above laws and above rules. It's a way of life where everything we do is just a reflection of our thankfulness to God and all that he has done for us. So Max, we really want you to be in the kingdom, and we want everyone of the next generation to take on Christ. And as parents, it probably feels like we're always telling you off and telling you what to do, but we truly want what is best for you. And it's occasions like this that give us no greater joy than to see our children walking in the truth.